honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit today with a 96-year-old World War II veteran who sure doesn't sound 96, does he? The 12 months between his 20th and 21st birthdays were pretty eventful aboard the battleship USS West Virginia. We heard about what Arthur Ranetti endured in Surigao Straits in the Battle of Leyte Gulf, not to mention what he saw at Iwo Jima in February and March of 1945. Arthur was a fire controlman in Sky 2, calibrating ranges for the battleship to fire its array of guns.
And not too long after Iwo Jima, Okinawa, the last big battle of the war.
Yep.
Big battle of the war.
Yep.
And you said when the kamikazes first started in the Philippines, you'd never heard of this before.
Nope.
But when you got to Okinawa, did you expect some of that to happen?
Oh, yeah. From the Philippines, we always expected them.
Uh-huh.
The only place I never saw any kamikazes was Iwo Jima. Not one.
So, and just put it in perspective, how many do you think you saw?
Kamikazes?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're talking dozens?
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds?
Every day, you know, in the Philippines, every day.
And it might not hit your ship, but you're seeing them hit other ships.
Other ships, and we shoot them down in Okinawa. Jeez, I mean, you're talking about 20 attacks a day.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them.
So did you ever get the sense that, you know, you're just buying time, and at some point one of them's going to get through?
Mm-mm.
Never
thought that way until it got happened. Happened about 7:30 at night.
And April 1st, that's the first day of the invasion at Okinawa. It's Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday and April Fool's Day fell on the same day.
Yeah.
it was April Fool's Day, you know, Easter Sunday. I mean, I don't remember about if I knew it was Easter Sunday or...
Maybe they had a mass aboard ship or something.
During the war, you'd have just what they call general absolution for Catholic, you know, boom, boom, boom. We didn't have a mass that day. And we didn't have that. It was about 7:30 at night, just getting dark, you know.
Just after sunset.
And the planes, you know, they have to come in. They're supposed to be identified IFF, friendly or foe. They thought they were friendly. They got right over us, and the guy just flipped and came straight down. I was in the director. I'm cranking the hatch to get the hatch closed, you know. And they hit right on. We were very lucky. The motor and the bomb went through here. The wing hit the thing. The bomb went on through, and then they have an armor-piercing deck that covers all the plotting rooms and stuff. The bomb stuck in that, went into that armor-piercing deck about that far, and it was sticking straight out. But it went into this compartment. There was a motor Mac, I think, sleeping in the bunk on the wall. The bomb came in right like that and stuck there. And that kid was in there because you got conditioned x-ray. Everything's locked up. He had to stay in there with that bomb.
So an unexploded bomb is wedged into the deck.
That's right.
And he can't leave.
No.
Wow. And not that your situation was very comfortable either. So you're telling me you look up.
Yeah, and here he comes.
Coming straight down.
Coming straight down.
What are you thinking in that moment?
I'm thinking, close this hatch. Because the hatch, you know, you can stick your head out. The wing hit, boom, you know, knocked the director off the rotor path.
Your director?
Yeah.
So you're in for a little bit of a roller coaster ride yourself.
Yeah. I thought we were screwed up. You know, seemed a little fire running around us, getting a little hot in there.
So you're sitting in there.
Yeah.
When this plane hits, how close to you?
The wing of the plane hit the director.
That you're sitting in?
Yeah.
So you felt that impact?
We're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're dead.
And if that bomb that got stuck in the deck would have gone off?
It would have been a lot pretty bad.
As it was, guys lost their lives.
Oh, yeah. The guys in it wasn't that many killed. Four of the guys in the 20-millimeter mounts, you know, they're strapped in. They're screwed. They all got killed. Yeah.
How close do you think you were to getting killed?
Well, if that thing had been over a couple of feet, the guy would have hit us dead on. We'd have been all dead. There's five guys, pointer, trainer, rangefinder operator, officer, radar, five guys in there.
So it shook you. It moved you, jiggled you around in there.
It shook me, scared me.
Then what's happening after that impact has happened? Well, I'm sure there's some chaos that's ensuing there.
Time to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting out of there. And then after that, I used to dream. I took that dream of being in the water, and a Japanese guy with a big sword was whacking at me, and I'm swimming. I used to get that dream all the time.
That's what it could have been.
Swimming like hell, this guy's whacking me, but he can't catch me. But he's getting close, and I'd wake up. That was a pilot. See, his head went in the galley. That's where the part of the pilot, his head went into one of the big pots because they went through, you know, and the motor went in there in the galley.
His head, they didn't put it there. That's where it ended up at the end of the crash.
Ended up. Everybody said, you make the beans out of that pot?
Wow.
After then it's joking. You got to keep the,
Yeah. But this could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. If the bomb goes off, a lot of people would have died.
Yeah. As it was, as you said, you lost some of those guys from the 20-millimeter anti-aircraft.
The first casualty was when we first got to Philippines having kamikaze raids. There was a seaman they had on the searchlights. That was his battle station. In the afternoon, you don't need no searchlights, but you have to go to your battle station. Well, the kamikaze come in. I was in flying, and he's shooting, bum, 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 and he... One of the machine gun bullets hit him in the leg, didn't break the bone, but went through the meaty part and everything. It showed him it, and they're feeding him ice cream, and he got the purple heart. The first casualty on the ship.
Man in a searchlight that's pointless in that situation.
Right. Yeah. That's how things end up,
Well, after that April 1st kamikaze attack that came so close to ending your life as a very young man, was there a burial at sea that you guys did?
Yeah, they just put them in the mattress covers, put some 5-inch 38 projectiles in between their legs and stuff, and overboard.
And you're watching that?
Yeah. Well, it's bad. I mean, everybody's watching, Guys that aren't on duty and stuff, you see that. In fact, you talk about the Pennsylvania, we fished one of the guys out of the water that was on the Pennsylvania, swole up.
So this is a few months later. This is August, so the bombs have already been dropped.
Yep.
And did you hear about that when they dropped the bombs?
No. All I know is that we were on watch. In fact, my friend John Annis, my partner there, all of a sudden we see all these tracers flying off the guys on Okinawa were shooting up in the air celebrating because the war was over. Mm-hmm. That's how we found out.
That's your special fireworks show.
Special
huh?
fireworks.
But you're talking about the Pennsylvania. So this is at Okinawa.
Yeah.
Right before, 2 days before the surrender.
2 days.
And tell me what, because you saw this happen. You saw what happened to your sister's
exactly
ship.
Exactly what happened. Well, the Pennsylvania, the plane came in, and I think it was what they call a Judy. It's a water plane. I mean, we were just sitting, John and I were sitting up there on the director, looking on, and it hit right in the stern, went in that way, and boom, and the ship started to go down because it didn't have condition. No one even knew it, just flying low to the water, the radar didn't pick it up or nothing, hit. So the captain was got to be a hell of a guy. He just put a full shore and he beached it where it didn't sink. But I think it killed quite a few boys on that ship.
And you were saying your ship brought one of those guys aboard?
Yeah, about 2 days later. It's all swollen up, flowing in the water, Yep, bad deal. That was, I guess it was your turn on a couple of days before.
Yeah.
War's over. The guys gets killed in 2 days.
And I guess it never was your turn.
I guess not. I'm still here.
Yeah.
I've had a few, I should have been dead two or three times, I think.
And how do you explain that? What's your...
I don't know how to explain that. I don't know. I had things happen to me that I had to be in the hospital. They thought I was going to die two or three times, I think. Well, you're just lucky, I guess.
I guess there must be some things you're still supposed to do.
I guess. I don't know.
So you find out the war's over by everything going off at Okinawa. But then they tell you guys, hey, you're going to be in Tokyo Bay when this is signed.
Yeah, that's in September.
So September 2nd, 1945, the battleship Missouri is where General MacArthur and all the bigwigs are.
It just came out there, and these old ships, we figured we'd put them on our old ship or one of the old ships, and what the hell are they doing on the Missouri?
So where were you guys in relation to the Mighty Mo, and did you get to see any of that happening?
Well, yeah, but you couldn't see signing or anything.
You could see the ship, and there's a lot of people aboard.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I saw, what I told you, I went ashore in Japan and didn't see one Japanese guy and ended up coming back to the ship so I could get something to eat, all of us that were on that landing craft, all dressed up in our whites.
Because the war is over.
The war is over. No action.
What did that mean to you that the war was over?
I was kind of scared. You know, I don't know if I want to come home or what, because I kind of liked it. I liked where I was, you know. It was a big decision, really. I'm sorry I didn't make a career out of it, because I enjoyed it. Mm. I really did.
I realized something else I didn't ask you. Did you ever have to deal with any of those typhoons?
Yeah, we were in a couple of typhoons over there.
What was that like?
Bad. Very bad. You can't believe how strong the water is. You know, like the decks on the forecastle, that's wood, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't have ricochet. It just splits it across. That's how powerful that water is. Bend some of the, just like the concussion of the gun, bend some of the, you had to take all the Mark 14 sights off and everything. Just like when you fire a main battery, you have to take them off the 20 millimeters and stuff. The water will just tear them off.
When one of those typhoons is at its, you know, fiercest point, where are you and what are you doing to?
I'm in either in the compartment or I'm in my battle station. And we're not too many battle stations in a typhoon. You know, so you're there to keep from getting sick.
Yeah, and if you're in your compartment, it's tossing you around pretty good.
Oh yeah, you can't believe it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, like 20-degree roll like that. That's a lot for a battleship.
Yeah, yeah, that almost sounds as scary as kamikazes.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the kamikaze got to be something that had to be done. It was just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you went to your battle station and everything, but you weren't scared, you know, until after something bad happens. You get hit, then you think about it. But up until then, it was just, it's your job.
And you said, you know, you weren't sure when the war was over. You kind of wanted to
stay
out there, and you wish you could have stayed in the Navy.
Yeah.
Did you have any friends who didn't get to come home, who were killed in World War II?
I had a friend of a family member, Eddie Filotti. He didn't want to go into service. He said, I'm going to get killed. I'll never forget that. Oh, don't worry about it, Eddie. So he stated he got drafted in the Army, and Normandy didn't even hit the beach. Boom. That was it. He's buried over there.
In Normandy?
Yeah, his parents, they went over to see the gravesite, you know, but he just had a premonition, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, Eddie Filotti. Yeah, his father had a restaurant on L Street in Sacramento called the La Rosa, Italian restaurant.
I don't want to leave anything important out. If there's anything else you want to get in there, feel free. But I do want to make sure to, well, I want to make sure to thank you. Thank you for serving our country and for telling this story. But I've got to ask you about the honor flight, too. So you got to go back to Washington, D.C.
I thought that was really great. It was a nice deal. I mean, my daughter went with me. She was my caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice time. It was a great deal. I couldn't believe it that they did that, you know, how nice that is. Everything was done perfect. Wherever we went, put you in a bus, clear the road, pal.
That police escort's pretty
nice. Every place we went was great, really. I couldn't believe it how they handled everything like that, you know. Didn't even have time to really have any drinks, for crying out loud. No, really, you had so much to do, you know.
I do have to ask, when you were in Washington and you went to that World War II memorial and they've got all those gold stars.
Oh, I was just showing a picture of it to Karen because we were there with the reunion, the ship reunion. They hadn't had that wall built yet. So then when my daughter and I went on that flight, they had it done. I took pictures of that thing. And boy, you talk about, you look at that and there's 100 dead people for every star. It's something else.
What did that make you think about as you stood there and looked at that?
I thought about them poor guys I knew that they're dead. You know what I mean? I just thought about it. And the first thing I thought when I looked at that thing was when I was watching that invasion of Iwo. That was bad. I mean, I see the guys get, you know, we know we've got some guys on a ship that got killed, but watching that happen and happen and happen and happen, I just can't forget that.
Understandable.
That's hard to forget, you know.
Yeah.
I just can't forget that. That was a bad deal. Really bad for them young jarheads.
Do you remember what it says? They've got a few words under those stars. Do you remember what it says there?
Yeah, for the price of freedom. Yeah. Something about the price of freedom that you get the 4,054 some stars, like 100 for each star.
That's right. Here we mark the price of freedom.
Yeah. That's one. You look at that and you just, and that the final statue of that Iwo Jima memorial, that's something else, Bill.
Well, is there anything else I didn't ask you about that you think people ought to know?
No, I'm just about giving you my whole deal there.
Let me ask you a tough question. I know you're not just looking back because you're looking forward to going hunting again this fall in Colorado and celebrating your 97th birthday and all of that. But when you do kind of look back, when you think about 96 years, is there something that you would say you're most proud of or most thankful for?
I'm very thankful that I'm still here, you know, and if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. She's helped me through a lot of tough things. Oh, yeah, look at that. See, protected by a well-armed woman.
Your T-shirt says protected by a well-armed woman.
Yeah.
So does that mean don't mess with you or don't mess with her?
Don't mess with her. Okay. She takes care of me. No, but, I mean, she's been very important to me. And it's, actually, so I would have been dead.
Who's a better shot?
Well, I taught her, so... Students kind of overtaken the teacher. She shoots good. Being that she enjoys it, it makes it not easier for me, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's our vacation every year. Instead of going wherever we're going to go or someplace, we look forward to that. We take our time going, driving over there, have stop here and for the night, have dinner, have a couple of drinks, go a little further, you know, and just enjoy the trip. We shoot a good animal, and we bring the meat all home, and we give a lot of it away, and that's all the meat, that's what we eat.
Right.
We eat antelope, we eat deer, and we eat elk. I haven't had a beef steak in I don't know how long.
Is that your secret, for staying so young?
I don't know, but we, you know, we eat well. We eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we have our vegetables, but with the meat, there's no cholesterol in it.
Yeah, and high in protein.
No fat, you know. Yeah. We eat ducks and doves.
Yeah.
I love dove, and we have ducks every once in a while.
You must have a good freezer.
Yeah, we've got about four in the garage there.
Arthur Renetti, 96 years young. Don't forget to find photos of Mr. Renetti then and now at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And thank you so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.